Overcoming life. Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. With Allah beside us, we move along. Overcoming life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, recitation of salat upon me is nur on the bridge of Sirat. Whoever recites Salat upon me 80 times on Friday, his sins of 80 years will be forgiven. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madni Channel, you're back on another episode of Overcoming Life. And I'm back here with Abdul Hannan Bhai. And today we got another topic for you. And the topic is, haram looks easy and halal feels hard. And a lot of Muslims quietly think that haram is just one click away, but halal is a long road away from you. And I just want to discuss this a bit more with you today, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. See, whatever mindset you are given from day one, it will be what's in your mind. If you are given this mindset of halal being hard in every aspect, you'll find it difficult.
Mm.
But if the person explaining you from day one would have said, halal is easy. You can't easy to namaz. Read it. Subhanallah, short time, that is done. Look how easy it is to prostrate. Look how easy it is to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how easy, you know, if that mindset was given from day one, implemented in your mind, you will all be thinking. But sadly, we live in a time, we live in a society, an environment where we are teaching each other this too hard. You know, doing good deeds is too hard. Sometimes it's not hard, but you've made it hard by putting it into someone's mind. Every time that person hears it's too hard, he'll start to believe it. Actually, it reminds me of a story which once I heard. It's quite a funny story in one way, but it will teach you that how something gets implemented into your mind. The story is that we got three robbers, three thieves. They are walking in a village. They see a man walking with a cow, right? The farmer walking with a cow. And when these three robbers, they one decide to rob this person's cow. So they make a plan. So one by one, the first comes. And when he comes in front of the farmer, sees him with the cow, he starts to scream, he starts to shout, lion, lion, lion. And he runs away into the crops. And the farmer thinks, what a lunatic. And this guy is mad. Walking with a cow, where is he seeing a lion? And it's obvious someone would think like that. So anyway, continues walking, walks another 100 yards or so. Now when the second robber comes, he plays the same act, the same reaction. Lion, 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 and he runs the opposite way. Right? He runs into the crops and whatever, runs off. Now the farmer, when on hearing the first person saying lion, lion, he was just thinking that, this guy's mental. Now when the second person came, the second thief came, when he was shouting out lion and he was reacting, it put him into doubt.
Mm.
The doubt which he put him into was that he looked at his cow and he thought, is he a cow or is he a lion? Because one person does it, it's normal. Maybe thinking, he's lost it. Now second person has done it, it's put him into a mind of confusion. Is it really or not? Now anyway, he's in this 50-50 mind, walking, thinking, man, I'm just imagination of people. Now the third robber comes, the third thief comes, and he stands and he goes, lion, lion, in front of the farmer, and he runs off. And now when the farmer looks at his cow, it feels to him that it is a lion. As three people have given, bear the same witness.
Mm.
He leaves his cow and he runs off. So then these thieves, they get together and take the cow away. The reason we mention this is, so what was implemented into the mind, how the mind was overtaken by this. You know, the continuously, you know, this is why they say that when there's something continuously reminded or the continuously said, it takes place. if you know, to the extent that, you know, someone can fall in love with someone. If someone keep on saying that you love him, you love him, you love him, automatically that love will be created in his heart. He'll be very close to him.
Mm.
He automatically become close. These are effects of words. So, you know, when we hear that halal is hard, haram is easy, it's effect of words. It's what we've been hearing, and for us to say halal is so hard, it's hard to earn a halal living. Why? First of all, this has been implemented into our lives. So we need to remove this.
You know, a good example of that is what you've just mentioned. Of course, that's because they've got the bad mentality because they've heard that too many times. But on the other side, if you were to use that same and say something good constantly, then that child would have that good mentality. For example, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the fathers or the mothers from a young age teach the kid love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now they've got that value in their head, isn't it? And for example, the reciting Naat Sharif in front of the kids. And if you keep doing it and you explain to them why you're doing this, it's because you love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because you love them, the kid will automatically love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It is like that. It's like someone in his home, the recitation of the Holy Quran is being recited every day. The children they adopt that. They see that and they enjoy that. With the habit of this is the habit of having a mehfil in the house. You know, you get that the grandparents were doing it, and the father was doing it, and the children are doing it, and it continues. So this passing on by this, it carries on. So alhamdulillah, goodness can be passed on like this. So when in the mindset of halal becoming easy, it's all about putting it into your mind, you know. And once you start thinking that it's easy, it'll become easy. It'll be no difficult for, like, just say salah, for example, namaz. Why is it a namaz become a burden for many? Because it's been told, oh, it's hard. It's hard to give up everything and read namaz. But if for those, ask those who are in a habit, ask those who have been, for them, salah is easy. It doesn't matter whether they read it on the motorway or they read it in the plane or they read it on the train or they read it on a boat or wherever they are in the part of the world, alhamdulillah, they will be reading it. Right? And it's become easy because they've adopted it, they've made it look easy. And when you see these people, I don't know how true it was, but I saw a picture of a taxi driver praying namaz on the top of his taxi. Right? But it's an example. You know, when that sort of thing is put in front of us, we'll picture it. It's easy. It can be done. Right? If someone doesn't think like that, how is he going to do it? He's not going to do it. He's going to always think it's hard, hard. The parents say to the child, it's hard, beta. It's really hard to do this. I know it's hard, but you need to do it. Why are you telling him it's hard? Right? You say, look, it's easy. Try it. Maybe this aspect will change him. So, us thinking haram is easy. Who's put this into our mind? Haram is not easy. You know, if you look at the first murder, the murder of Habil from his brother Qabil. Right? When Qabil, the son of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, murdered his other brother. So, Qabil murdered Habil, yes? And this murder took place. Qabil was in fear, in a state, what shall I do? He's murdered his brother, but he's still in fear that what should I do with the body? How would I be able to hide this? Although it wasn't a small crime, it was the first murder. But when it happened, the state which took upon him, he was trying to cover it. And then when he saw the crow, and how another crow passes away, and the crow dug the earth and buried the other crow in there. So he learned from that. But that's just an example of saying that, you know, ask the people who murdered someone how hard it is to live with it. So why we are saying haram is easy? It's not easy. Even to do it, what a person might have done, what the mistake the person might have gone through. So I think for us to keep on saying haram is easy, we have made it easy. If he's carrying on saying halal is easy, it'll become easy. You know, this continues to repeat. It'll make things easy. Just like a hafiz of Quran, how does he learn the hips? He repeats the same ayat, same verses.
But you know, they say halal is hard or namaz is hard, but then they tell the same child to go and do engineering in university, and that's not hard. But namaz is hard. They can't skip exams for namaz, but they can go do engineering in universities. Like you said, it's all about the mindset and the things that we teach the child as well. And, you know, this other side where we've made halal hard because they keep saying halal is hard. But in reality, even if we look at the five pillars of Islam, and people say that's very hard to do, but if we look at them, the first is the shahada, which they've already done. And then you have Salah. I'll actually leave Salah for last. Then you have Hajj. You only have to do if you have the money for it.
Yeah.
Or once in your lifetime. So we'll take that one out as well. Then you have Zakat. You only have to give if you have the money for it as well. If you're Sahib and Nisab, someone who is capable of giving Zakat. And then you're left with fasting once a year. Well, 30 days, only once a year. The only thing left is Salah, and yet people still say Islam is hard.
Even all these, fasting, if you think about it, staying hungry the whole day. But alhamdulillah, this continuously doing of this, it makes you strong in alhamdulillah. I mean, when you see the benefit of it, you see how fasting improves your health, how it physically improves you, mentally improves you, alhamdulillah. It's just a matter. So, alhamdulillah, those people who are in the habit of fasting, you find them throughout the whole year they are fasting. Nawafil. Mm. And for them, it's easy. Every second day, every third day, someone's keeping a fast. It's become a norm for them, right? So when we will start to do these things, action more often, and it become easy. Like I would say with the Quran, some people find it difficult to recite a lot of Quran. And in Ramadan, they're not able to complete the whole Quran. Why? Because they've not done it enough. Once you're in a habit, they say if you want to become in a habit of reciting Quran more fluently, recite it more regularly. Simple as that. The more regular of Quran you will recite, the more fluent you'll become. The more you want to recite as well. And so these things, we need to be looking on that how we can get into habits of doing that same action. Just like in a worldly life, we become habitual of something. So even eating is not easy if you look at it. Eating is even hard. You have to chew, carry on, spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes try to get that thing down. Right, it's hard on you, but you're spending time on it, right? So when you're spending time on eating every day, 3 times a day, 4 times a day, why can't we read namaz 5 times a day, right? So it's just getting into the habit of things.
It's also all about the mindset that we set. Because the previous episode that we did as well, I can't be bothered. It was all about the mindset. Even here, again, the mindset comes into place. The mindset that they've made this mindset from the start. So we've got this mindset, and how can we now start to build away from this, move away from this mindset? The halal is hard and haram is easy.
The thing is, what you got to keep in mind is that time we find difficulties going through a hardship, we see in a negative way that, okay, this difficulty I'm going through, it's hard, right? And what you got to see is the outcome of it. The reward of hard, going through a hard time, just like we do in the world. For an 8-hour shift, to do 8 hours, if you're standing operating one machine, that means 8 hours of standing, operating a machine the whole day. But end of it, why do you do it? The reward.
The reward.
The reward is what you get paid. Right? So when we will focus upon the reward of these hardships, the Jannah is the reward of these hardships. Right? And it might make it easy for us. At end of the day, we will achieve something from it. And we won't just achieve just to be able to pay our bills off, right? Or able to buy some food. But that reward, what we will get is the hardship we've gone through, we'll get palaces in its place.
Right.
We'll get tours in its place. We'll get everything surrounding, everything we desire in its place. So that gaining is a lot more than going through a hardship and gaining in the world. That hardship you go through, inshallah, you will gain a huge amount of blessing. So maybe try to bring this into your mind. Jannah is surrounded by difficulties. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Jannah, created paradise, He says to Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi sallam that go and look at it. When Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi sallam went to see, and he came back and he said that by your mighty, no one will hear of it except that he will want to enter it. Anyone who hears about this Jannah, who sees this Jannah, hears about Jannah, will want to enter it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded it with hardships. And these hardships were surrounded around Jannah. Then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, when he goes to look at it again, and he returns and he says, by your mighty, I fear that no one will enter it. When hardships are surrounded in Jannah, he says that I fear that no one will enter it. In the same way, when hell was made, Jibreel alayhi salam sees hell. He says, no one will want to enter this. But when he was surrounded with all these food, all these pleasures, Jibreel alayhi salam sees it and he says that it seems like everyone, no one will save themselves from it. Everyone will want to be, will be entering into it because of the the desires which surround hell. So Jannah surrounds with, is surrounded with hardship, and the hellfire is surrounded with desires and comfort. Halal is surrounded with not with ease, right? It is with difficulty to earn a halal living and to earn, you know, it's easy to just one big job, right? And get all the money and then to spend months and months and years of your life trying to earn that same amount. It is hard, but it's halal. It's pure, right? And that's what one's got to see. And the other side where it's easy to earn haram, but you'll be caught on the day of judgment. You'll be taken into account for it.
A lesson that we can learn from the hadith that you just mentioned is that basically paradise is surrounded by things that our nafs, our ego dislikes, essentially, isn't it? Like things like, for example, things that we find hard are actually things that take us into Jannah, like the waking up for Fajr. I'm pretty sure there's many other examples as well, like the anger itself.
Yes, waking up for Fajr, it's why it becomes hard, because it's surrounded with difficulties. And, you know, although it's a simple action, opening the eyes, and getting up, going to for prayer. It's same with like controlling the anger, lowering your gaze, keeping your gaze lowered. You know, it seems so hard. Although it's as simple as this. Why is it so hard? The desire wants us to look. Right? The desire wants us to see. And this is what happens with when we let our desires take over. And it's the same as giving wealth, giving charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your desires are kicking in again. Oh, don't give me these. You want to be spending these on something else. You don't want to be giving in charity. You don't want to be helping someone.
Or even when zakat comes in, one of the five, and then literally the desires come in again, even though it's just 2.5%. They will look at how small the percentage is. They're going to look at the amount of money that they're giving. That's another thing. Again, desires.
You know, the other good things, like, for example, forgiving people, how hard it becomes for forgiving. Although it's simple as this. You've done something wrong, I say, okay, it doesn't matter. Yeah? You know, sometimes you see friends do this amongst themselves. When a friend does something wrong to another friend, what is it? It doesn't matter. Totally. But why can't we do that with our parents, with our children, with our loved ones, our family members? And because shaitan wants us to. Basically here, he wants to destroy this. And so we need to be keeping this in mind, that hardship which is surrounded around Jannah, it's because these good things, it becomes hard for us to do. And whereas the hard, those things which are desired with around hellfire, right, include of your nafs, your ego, everything wants to give in, right? You want to just let it happen, okay? That's following the lust. Aggression, lying, cheating, earning unlawful wealth. All this person is so easy, wants to do this, right? Because it's the desires around hell. And it seems like there's this pleasure in it. And although you'll get pleasure from good deeds as well. You know, if anyone wants to see pleasure in good deeds, a very easy method is your desire to look at something which is not lawful for you to look at. Look away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates such a tranquility in the heart. When you do this, it's amazing. Just for the youth out there, just experience this. That look away when you desire to see something which is unlawful. You see what... it's like, you know, a drop of... something is dropped into the heart which holds this passion, this beauty. I can't explain. But you will find this subject in hadith. The tranquility of the heart will be gained when one protects his eyes from haram. So Zahid bhai, this pleasure you get in ibadat, alhamdulillah, many ibadat you will get pleasure. There must have been something in your life which you must have felt pleasure in ibadat.
I think there's been a few occasions. The first time I went to Makkah and I saw the Holy Kaaba, the pleasure I felt then, next level pleasure.
So alhamdulillah, ibadat has pleasure, has it? Whether it's seeing the Kaaba, whether it's going to Madinah to Munawwara, whether it's sometimes listening to the praise of the Prophet these things bring pleasure into you.
That always brings pleasure, to be honest. Whenever the praise of Rasulullah
Alhamdulillah, this will, and even just reading about the life of the Prophet, this brings pleasure into your heart. Many other ibadats like this, reciting of the Quran, you know, if someone, you hear good recitation, what does it do? I tell you, you know, someone was once playing there, at night, they've done a recording for sleeping at night, but it's reciting of the Quran. You know, like something to put you to sleep. And the recitation of the Quran is read so beautifully that it relaxes the mind. It will put you into that. And maybe it will put you to sleep. Right? And this is what I'm talking about. The pleasure in ibadat. If one starts to search for this, one starts to look for this, alhamdulillah, you will find yourself connected. There's many ibadats, many good worships. Alhamdulillah, the pleasure in fasting. You go into that state of hunger, and then you feel this pleasure in ibadat. And why Ramadan, you feel so touched, you feel so soft. It's the worship and it's the fasting which has make you like this. I mean, listening to the Quran, why does it make you? It is the Quran itself is touching your heart. Other ibadats, alhamdulillah, every ibadat will hold it. But some ibadats affect us more compared to some others. But we should be searching for these pleasures in ibadat. InshaAllah, that way you will find that it won't be hard. Good deeds won't be hard. And if you put barriers in front of sins, also.
You know the pleasure that you get in Ramadan, for example, when you fast, when you truly realize, when you forget about all of the things that you hear, or the scientific benefits to fasting, do this, you lose weight, all of that. When you forget all of that, and you realize why you're truly fasting, why you're actually able to fast is because you're doing it for Allah Almighty, because you're doing it for the pleasure of Allah, then that zawq, that flavor you get, the spirituality you get, that's also next level.
And the other thing is, Zahir, it's nothing which to gain this pleasure, and it's not a matter of once. These sort of pleasures are gained through continuous worship. You probably see Ramadan and it builds up. Over the days, you build up to that stage where you might even shed one tear or cry or make doba. It's not going to happen the first night. It will build up. You need to be built up in a worship, in a ibadah to get pleasure, to make it feel easy. And I've talked upon this before as well. You need to carry on building on it. So when we fasted in Ramadan, after Ramadan, the month of Shawwal, fast also. The month after that, fast also. The month after that, throughout the year, keeping your fast. This will continue with your body. Like once you get into the routine of Salah, once you get into the routine of Quran, this will all build you, inshallah.
You know, like we were talking about Tahajjud earlier. For example, even if we take Tahajjud nowadays, praying Tahajjud is a lot easier. Because sunrise is later, so this is UK what I'm talking about. So sunrise is later, so that means even if you were to wake up before Fajr starts, which if it starts at 6 o'clock, if you were to wake up at 5:45, you do wuzu and you pray tahajjud, the spirituality in that is also different. But because you're doing this, you're sacrificing sleep for the sake of Allah Almighty. There's even little things, and nowadays they're not even that hard to do as well. But it will have a bigger impact on us, isn't it? Because essentially we're killing that nafs again.
So basically, alhamdulillah, once you've done, you place goodness in front of halal, and now what you need to do is put barriers in front of haram. What are the barriers in front of haram? The barriers in front of haram is like, for example, this will lead me to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The disobedient of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every haram, whether it's swearing, lying, backbiting, cheating, looking at haram, listening to haram, touching haram. Whichever way you're doing haram, you have to put barriers in front of it. This haram which will lead you to the fire of hell. And every haram act actually leads a person to the fire of hell. Every haram act is a means of destruction. One has to put barriers, like for example that haram can be a means of losing iman. The scholars have mentioned this. Many haram actions makes a person lose his iman at the time of death. So one needs to have this, put these barriers there for haram, and needs to put the barriers of goodness, of tranquility in front of halal. So many haram actions, for example, if someone is looking at haram, he needs to be reading on this or putting this barrier. Imagine if the nails will be poked into the eyes. How would I bear it? Just thinking like that makes you think. Or just imagining of a little ash of a cigarette going into the eye. What state becomes? No, even only the hair from the eyelash goes into the eye. What will be the person's state? And then imagine the fire of hell. Being poured lead, burning fire poured into the eyes. This is the punishment of looking at haram. Same with the listening, nails of a fire being poked or put on nails.
But you know, now we can say this to the people that are caught in this, and you've mentioned the punishment for it as well. But then, you know, this things like this often become an addiction. So to our viewers that are listening, who might be caught in things like this, may Allah allow them to let go of those things. But just telling them this, they might feel like, oh, I've heard this before. But what practical advice can we give them to let go of these things? Because addictions are hard, and this is an addiction.
I think the biggest thing is good company. Good company is what will continue to purify you. The reminders of good people will always purify you. The connectivity with you will always keep on reminding you of the badness. Because we can't remind ourselves. When you become weak, when the heart has become hardened, you're going to tell yourself, I should leave this. So the heart's in that state. But when there's good company around you, people who are with fear of Allah, people who might be crying, maybe if you notice that whenever you see someone cry, makes you want to feel crying.
Mm.
Right? So if someone is crying in the fear of Allah, you're in that good company. Who knows that we might start crying? The heart might soften. Right? In the same way, this good company will continue to remind you of good actions. And they'll continue to remind you of the evil actions, of the sins which people are doing. So adopting good company is a very powerful tool to avoid haram and to get in towards halal.
So essentially what you're telling the viewers is that they need to start removing themselves from that situation. So if they're caught in sins like this, they need to remove themselves from the situation, that perfect environment that they've created to do those sins, they need to remove themselves out. And one way out is good company, because then if you're pushing yourself towards those sins, you'll remember, oh no, I've got this good company, I could call them and go there instead of doing that sin.
There's that way, and then there's other ways, putting yourself with good company. For example, like we have the kaflas of Dawud Islam. Mm. I've always mentioned this because kaflas are unique. You know, normally when we say good company, you say, who am I going to find who's good company? Alhamdulillah, we have these lovers of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, these great brothers who are traveling throughout the world, alhamdulillah. Go and spend 2-3 days with them. Automatically, you'll be in a good company. You'll be in a good environment. You know, not just kaflas, we have like other opportunities. For example, Ramadan, itikaf, the month of Ramadan is there. You have the Dawud Islami has a whole month itikaf in many places, many parts of the world. Then we have the last 10 days, alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami is doing itikaf more or less every day. You know, in over hundreds of locations, alhamdulillah, brothers are sitting itikaf for the whole last 10 days of Ramadan, right? Just go and sit there. Alhamdulillah, those people who come to these itikaf, those people who travel on these kafilas, alhamdulillah, those people who have come to the gatherings of Dawud Islami, these are form of good company. They found a change. That's where people's lives have changed from. Mm-hmm. I remember myself, how I sort of changed was, so I went to a gathering of Dawud Islami with a friend of mine. And when I went there, that touched my heart deeply. Where am I? What's happening here? You know, made me feel and made me think that I was living a different life. Alhamdulillah, that will what will make you reflect. So the company, it's a very powerful tool for changing, for learning to adopt halal actions and save yourself from haram.
But you know, you mentioned the 10 days itikaf or going to the kaflas. Again, when you're doing those things, you'll automatically be making your mindset to, again, if you're traveling in the way of Allah for 3 days, you're going to be thinking that in your mind when your ego is also telling you to do a sin. You'll be thinking, no, I'm traveling in the way of Allah, I can't do that. Or when you sat in itikaf for 10 days in the house of Allah, then your mind won't have time to be able to think of those things. So essentially, you've removed yourself from that situation and you've created an environment to help you. And often that's what they need as well, isn't it? Not just saying, I will do this, but actually doing it. And one way to do is that an itikaf.
Alhamdulillah, itikaf, kafilas, these alhamdulillah, great opportunities, gatherings of Dawud Islam. The more one wants to change any, the more he will give.
Mm.
So alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami is not limited to 3 days. We have 12 days kafilas. We have 1 month kafilas. We have brothers who travel for a whole 12 months, whole year, alhamdulillah. So the more one feels that he needs to work on himself, the more time he will give, inshallah.
So essentially, would you say Islam tells us to delay comfort? Does Islam tell us to delay comfort and not to delete it? Or from what you're telling me, should I just fully delete comfort and now just go straight to the kaflas and forget everything else?
Alhamdulillah, kaflas is also a place of comfort as well. The house of Allah, what more comfort can one gain? The house of Allah, it's, you know, the house of Allah, subhanAllah. We have brothers who travel in the way of Allah and they say, look, the sleep I've had in these 3 days in the kafla, in the mosque, in the house of Allah, has been so comfortable. I've never had this type of sleep at home. on a comfort of a bed. So, you know, someone sees a bed being a comfortable place, but alhamdulillah, for the believers, the house of Allah is a comfortable place. And this is, the masal is that the example which is given is the fish in the sea, right? Can't live without the water, and that's the example of a believer in the masjid, in the house of Allah. That for him, that is the place of, he can't survive without it.
When we go to someone's house as guests, they usually treat you well, isn't it? So imagine going to the house of Allah as guests as well, because that masjid is a house of Allah as well. So inshallah, that's some good practical steps to try and move away from haram and come in more towards halal, and making, changing that mindset of thinking that halal is hard and haram is easy. I think we've given some good steps. But if we were to end with one practical advice, I know you mentioned kaflas, but would you say that's your ending advice as well to the viewers?
SubhanAllah, Dawat Islami is that organization which is working in over 80 departments. So connect to it to some way or another. Every aspect is a means of goodness. Social media, Madani channel. You know, that's why they say, that's why we don't have advertisement on our channel. Why? Because anyone can tune in at any time and he can learn the deen.
SubhanAllah.
He can be learning something of the deen. And a lot of the times what will happen is, when you will tune onto the channel, it will be something related to you, right? Inshallah, hopefully. So it will make you reflect. And this are, there are many means. We have I give you a little simple work of our organization is, we have a weekly booklet which brothers and sisters read on a weekly basis, or you can listen to it. You know, one week I was listening to one of the booklets and it's just making me feel that Allah, you know, these words, this speech at this time, it was a need for me. So alhamdulillah, many opportunities are there. Wherever you can connect to Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, they are all means of bringing you towards goodness and towards halal and saving you from haram, inshallah.
Inshallah. Oh, Jazakallah for the advice. And dear viewers of Madani Channel, Jazakallah for tuning in today to another episode of Overcoming Life. Inshallah, we'll be back on Madani Channel again with another episode. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu.
Overcoming life. Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. With Allah beside us, we move along.